question for you, Mr. Prime Minister, if you will.
I will.
Okay, great. I was just curious, what country inspires you the most on this earth? Where are you really seeking inspiration from when it comes to your leadership?
Well, there's a few. I mean, first, we got to give a big shout out to China. I think what the Chinese government is doing to their people is extraordinary. I'm very happy with what they're doing. First, yes. Secondly, you know, I'm a big fan of Stalin. I think that he's been revolutionary, if you will, in my thoughts on how to handle my citizens. So, yeah.
I'm honestly not good. I don't think I should ask you any more questions. I think you're sort of implicating yourself here. Maybe you should stop talking about
the year. That I'm very progressive?
You should have lied, sir.
Lied about what?
Your inspirations. You should have lied.
Listen, I'm a respected leader on the world stage, okay? I go to conferences. Everyone wants to shake my hand.
You better hope there are no cameras here, sir. I'm gonna leave, actually. I don't even want to be in the same room. So.
Xie xie. Ni hao.
Guys, welcome to Will and Amala Live. I wish we were joking about that intro, but it's really not a joke. And we will get to that video at some point during the story today. We're going to be talking a lot about Canadian news, everything that's happening there with the protests, the government's response to it, Prime Minister Mr. Trudeau and his comments on China, which we will get to. We're also going to be touching on Novak Djokovic. You haven't heard his name in a while, but he's back because the French Open is around the corner. Will he be participating? We shall see, but he has come out with a statement. Plus, Prince Andrew has reached a settlement, it seems, in his sex abuse case against Virginia Giuffre. Is this yet another symbol of how class is far more important than race? Maybe we'll get there. And it's TikTok Tuesday. So, you know, we're leaning on our friend Libs of TikTok to show you some leftist TikToks on the internet. Also, we have Will burping in the background yet again. We're back, baby.
Wow, you know I'm back. When you start hearing those belches, you know something's boiling.
Belches be cray.
Belches be cray.
Gross. Okay. Video number one is out of Canada. Here's what they're moving into in terms of responding to the Freedom Convoy that has been taking over Ottawa, taking over the streets, creating what is now been deemed a protest blockade. Here's what the government had to say about this.
Their relationships with anyone involved in the illegal blockades and report to the RCMP or CSIS. As of today, a bank or other financial service provider will be able to immediately freeze or suspend an account without a court order. In doing so, they will be protected against civil liability for actions taken in good faith. Federal government institutions will have a new broad authority to share relevant information with banks and other financial service providers to ensure their relationship.
Okay. So for those of you, that's a very, very short clip there. Essentially what she's saying is now they're going to be monitoring the bank transactions of the people who are involved with the Freedom Convoy. And if they see a significant moving of money that goes towards anything in support of these protests or specifically the blockades that are being created, they will have the ability now to freeze the accounts without getting a court order. So without anybody else truly seeing it or any point of authority going, yes, that's okay, they will be able to freeze bank accounts. Insane.
This is a great reset happening right in front of our eyes. That is exactly what this is. People talk about, you know, we need to move into you hear so many people, these new technocratic type of people saying, you know, we're moving into a cashless society and you don't need cash anymore. Cash is dirty. You're giving it to people. It's a horrible thing. You shouldn't have cash. Everything should be online. Mm-hmm. This is what happens when you put all of your money online, when everything is digital, when all sorts of currency is digital. Then you have a great reset situation and the government or whoever the powers that be are, whether that might be your bank or the government, whoever, has the powers that be to shut down your money whenever they see fit because you're a domestic terrorist or you're protesting without the government's permission. Also, if you're protesting without the government's permission, you shouldn't have to have the government's permission to protest. That's like an oxymoron. It's the stupidest thing, one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. To say that you need the government's permission. It was like in the Netherlands a couple of weeks ago where they had a huge protest of thousands of people. And then they said, oh no, you can't protest. The government said you can't protest. It's like, you don't get to tell me that I don't get to protest.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm protesting, because of you.
Right.
You know, to say that, oh, you can't do it. It's just, It's ludicrous.
Yeah, especially when it's a civil protest like this. I think the most dangerous things they can cite are them lighting pizza ovens and having hot tubs on certain streets. It's just ridiculous. And you can go through these articles and they actually write about there's hot tubs set up on multiple intersections located in Ottawa. So insane. And here's the quote from our prime minister. This is about keeping Canadians safe, protecting people's jobs, and restoring confidence in our institutions. I would have a lot of confidence in daddy government if they went and froze my bank account. That seems like a grand idea to me. We come and protest something that is clearly an effort to amass power on your part and is not about keeping people healthy and safe. And then you go, in order to keep you safe, I'm going to freeze your bank accounts and make your finances inaccessible.
Yeah.
It's just so ridiculous.
You know, Pierre Trudeau, who is, if you believe it, is Justin Trudeau's father. If it's not Fidel Castro, which people are saying.
I just heard this like last week. I've never heard somebody say this before.
I definitely think it's probably true.
What? You think it's true?
Of course I do. I only believe...
That is a big statement. I've never looked into it, so I'm not going to make any comments. I'm not even going to speculate.
I only believe the wildest things. That's the best way to live your life. It makes your life a lot more fun.
Oh my gosh.
But the Justin Trudeau's father, Pierre Trudeau, who is the prime minister... As well, he had what he called essentially a watch me moment when he put in the Wartime Measures Act in the 1970s and was asked by the media and said, you know, you're putting in this act and that's essentially what this act is now. And he said, for all these extremists and people in the government, he said, watch me. Basically saying like, oh, you say I won't do it? Huh? You say I won't do it? Watch me. Mm-hmm. I'll do it. And now Justin Trudeau is trying to live up to his father and have his watch me moment. Oh, you say I won't get violent on these truckers or cancel their bank accounts or end these protests however I see fit? Watch me. Yep. It's an inferiority complex. I mean, Justin Trudeau, like a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, he was just this annoying little guy who did blackface years ago, who was like a school teacher.
And he now did blackface somehow, like four times.
Yeah, so yeah. And became the prime minister of Canada. It's like, okay, who really cares? This guy's a joke. You know, no one cared anything. And now, because he is in a position where he has been able to exert his force and his power, he is taking it all the way. And he's saying, yep, watch me. I will do this. But right, even with that, I mean, all these different premiers throughout Canada in Saskatchewan, in what were the other ones? There's Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Quebec,
New Brunswick.
And Alberta. They're coming out and saying, no, we don't agree with the federal government on this. And we think that is actually being very unhelpful what Justin Trudeau is doing. Even though all these people are coming out and saying this, even though you have your citizens who are very upset with what you're doing and it's coming to a breaking point, you're still pushing it.
And it's a simple fix on their part. Just go, hey, well, guys, we're not going to have the mandates anymore.
Just end it. It's so easy.
It's really that simple. But at oh my gosh, at every single turn, they have tried to stop them. So we saw this happen with GoFundMe. GoFundMe pulling nearly $10 million in funding. They're saying it's going to be refunded. We'll see about that. And then they went, okay, if you're not going to allow GoFundMe, we'll go to this Christian organization. We'll go to GiveSendGo. And then they try to go to GiveSendGo. And now the government goes, if I see any suspicious transactions, we will be able to shut those accounts down. And that's what they're doing here. They did the same thing with the trucks being able to get gasoline. And now they're saying, we're gonna arrest everybody who goes and gets gasoline. And the truckers go, okay, we're just going to send you 3,000 people who are going to get gasoline all at the same time and try to arrest them. So
watch
it's
me.
Just like moves and counter moves, baby, moves and counter moves. I don't know.
These truckers are what I would say are our modern day like warriors. They are the bravest people that I think we've had in a very long time. Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking about this on the way back. We went and filmed a Man on the Street video today and I'll tell the story a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll tell the story a little bit, okay, before.
Yeah.
I went there on the street, and first of all, which was so aggravating to see, I don't know, I'm going to sound like a boomer, I don't know what they're teaching these kids, but even aside from the politics, not even worrying about the answers that they gave to the questions, we were asking about voter ID, these children cannot even form a complete sentence to save their lives.
Mm.
They don't look you in the eye when they talk to you. They don't use proper grammar. Every other word is or like, or, you know, I think, like every single other word. They can't form sentences that make any coherent sense. And then on top of that, they have no idea what they're talking about. Like,
right. It
is so hard to even talk to them. And I've been doing this for 5 years, going out and making these videos, and it's gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
I realized it today and was like, this was the worst that it's ever been with these students. It
was
demoralizing to see the way that these students talk.
Mm.
And again, it sounds like a boomer. Like, these kids these days, they don't read the dictionary. That's all we used to do for fun.
Right.
But it really was sad to see how they, and the worst was that they wouldn't look you in the eye. Mm. They wouldn't look you in the eye when they talk to you. That's a big deal. No one taught these students how to talk to people or even form sentences. What are they teaching kids in school? I really don't know, because they were worthless in conversation. Mm. But then one guy came up to me after I'd been talking to all these people. I talked to these political science majors who never even heard of voter ID. They couldn't define it. They didn't know what that was somehow. And this guy came up to me. He was a radical leftist and he knew me. He knew what PragerU was. And he starts getting super mad at me and having this whole debate with me. He calls me, you know, racist and, you know, says I'm too worried about what people want to do in the privacy of their own homes.
And that's hilarious.
In their own bathroom and all this kind of stuff. He sounded like
Amla. You must watch yesterday's episode.
No, I know. I was like, him and Amla will probably get along.
But he comes and meet this guy.
Yeah, exactly. You guys can both come and attack me on campus. But I'm talking to this guy and he would not let me talk and he's trying to talk over me. I'm trying to be civil and polite when having a conversation with this guy. And he's all these straw man ad hominem attacks. And we got to a point where we're talking about transgender issues because we were talking about voter ID. And then he said, well, the ACLU said this about voter ID. Mm-hmm. And I said, you trust the ACLU? They said men can menstruate. And then he said, oh, I can't believe you would say that. And then got very upset. And he talked about gender and sex, all the stuff. You guys will see the full video. I'll put it out to you. But you can see how he acted. Mm-hmm. But it came down to it. And I said, you know, this is a difference of values. Not just, this isn't facts. I mean, I have facts. You don't have facts. But it's about values. You and I will never come to an agreement on this, on whatever it is that we're talking about. And I said, would you want your daughter to be in a locker room with a man who's naked with a penis? Mm-hmm. And he said, I wouldn't. He said, that's fine. Yikes. And I said, listen, there is no common ground with you. There is no common ground with you, because this is how these people are. They are so brainwashed and manipulated that this is what they believe. I forgot why even I'm talking about this now while we're bringing it up.
Tangent. Yeah, but yeah, but that's sad.
And
that's sad.
It's like someone is okay with that. How can you be okay with that? You know, there is nothing that should never be allowed. Should go to jail. It shouldn't be allowed. You shouldn't be allowed to say that you're a woman. He asked me why I care about what people do in the bathroom. I said, because I care about truth. I care about someone coming and saying that they are a woman when they are a man. Okay? If you want to say that, fine. Go do, say whatever you want. You can believe whatever fairy tale that you are, whatever you say. But I'm not going to believe it because it's not true. And you can't make me believe that it is true. You cannot compel me to believe that what you are saying is true.
Yeah, that's the daughter thing. Yikes.
It's horrible. How can you believe that?
It's like you got to draw your line in the sand somewhere. And that just goes to show how deep the indoctrination is and how deep this ideology truly goes, that people are willing to make the concession of their child's safety for that.
Their ideology.
Yeah.
Oh, the reason why I brought this up. Okay, I brought this up because after the video filming, I was with the boys who we went and filmed with in the car. And we said, why is a guy like this like that? And I was thinking about when I was back in Europe and I went to, you know, the Museum of the House of Terrors and watched Inglourious Basterds and a bunch of Nazi stuff, you know, all sorts of things. Mm. And it was like men nowadays have no great cause that they are a part of. Like I was saying that I would give a lot to be a part of some war. If something like World War II happened today, I would sign up immediately. Mm. And I think most men would. Because we don't have something big that we are fighting for. So this guy on a college campus who feels like there is nothing for him to fight for, because there is nothing to fight for, gets involved with this leftist stuff and now says, yeah, a man with a penis is fine around my 4-year-old daughter in a locker room. That's how screwed up it is, because men have no purpose in America today. That's why I was bringing this up. Is that the cultural problem of why people are this way, because they have no great purpose. Men in America, men in the West, have no great purpose of preserving our culture, of our or our values, or our heritage, or our morality. We have nothing like that. So when you have nothing like that, you get people latching on to whatever comes at them first. Mm-hmm. And the left is so dominant in the culture that people latch on to that, and then they think that that is their great war, that that is their World War II.
Yeah,
and it's all a ruse.
People look for fights and for struggles, and if you don't have one, or if you live in a society that's particularly cushy, you will find it somewhere. And yeah, you're definitely right. I think the left is very adamant about presenting struggles to people and presenting a battle for them to fight and then getting them to sign up, and that's what they do.
They want to fight for good. I understand why this guy does what he does, for sure. I get it.
Yep.
But he's not fighting for good. He's fighting for evil and was convinced that he was good. You know, the Germans after World War One, they were defeated. They felt horrible. And Hitler came in and said, I'm going to promise you all these things. And you're going to reclaim the brilliance and power of Germany that we once were. You know, after all these countries screwed us, we're now going to be the Germany that will be looked at again on the world stage. And all these Germans, all these people become Nazis and they do all these horrible things. But they believe that they were doing it for a good cause. Even though they were committing evil acts, they believed that what they were doing was good. And that's like this kid on the college campus. You know, he thinks that he's doing something good. He thinks he's doing something valiant. That is for this greater fight, but it is a ruse, and you are being lied to. You are being controlled.
Yeah, I think a lot of people.
It's all these people with the COVID nonsense. Going back to the whole Canadian thing of why I even brought this up, is the whole Canadian thing with Justin Trudeau and these other people is that they think that they could be doing something that is remotely good, but it's evil. What you're doing is evil.
Big words, Will.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but I do agree with you. I think they do think they are being compassionate. They do think that they are being, that they are doing something good. They do think that they are doing something to help the world, but it is often not the case. We're going to get back on track on Canada. Here is an interview that Breitbart put out with one of the Canadian truckers who is involved in this convoy, asking him why he decided to make this decision.
Would you tell our audience why you're here today?
Well, I'm here to support all the people here. You know, it's about time. That's all I can tell you. It's about time because, you know, people can't live in fear. You know, they can't be isolated. You know, they can't suffer from isolation and being alone and also being stigmatized for a personal decision that should be nobody else's business. I've been watching this online on YouTube, on Rumble, especially Rumble because I don't really like YouTube. Viva Fry, yourself. You know, countless others, and I knew after watching all the people here, you know, the you know, we're basically one big family, you know, under the umbrella of the country of Canada, okay? But however, we're being isolated, we're being segregated, so I knew I had to be here to actually see and experience the feeling of mutual togetherness, of being together and to stand for a cause that we don't need, we don't want, and we just want government out of our lives. Well, I do. I can speak for myself personally. I don't want anybody at all governing what I can say, do, hear, whether I should or should not put on a muzzle to just go about my daily life. It's laughable. It's ridiculous.
Awesome. So concise. I mean, you can't really say it any better than that. It's amazing. Just look at the environment that they're in. It looks like it's freezing and they're all outside continuing on. I don't even know what day it is of this convoy now that they've continued to be out in the freezing cold with their trucks. Some of them just standing out with signs protesting the government. Truly an amazing thing.
Heroes. Yeah. They're so incredibly brave. They're inspiring. It's why the reason why things are dropping all over the world is because of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should be so proud of themselves.
They truly are setting an example.
It's really incredible.
It's
really incredible.
Yep. And it's a hard thing. I can't stress enough. A hard thing to struggle through, doing that for days and days and days and days and not doing your jobs. Like, these are all people who are not doing their jobs for the days that they're out here protesting and keeping this up. And that is a huge thing to set aside in order to make a statement and say, this is not okay. And we're not going to allow this to continue. Now, the government has put up blockades and barricades, pun intended, I guess, every step of the way. So I'm curious to see when this breaks. I don't know.
I mean, at this point, they're threatening to freeze their bank accounts and stuff now, too. So this guy is the quote-unquote fringe extremist domestic terrorist that Justin Trudeau is targeting with these wanting to freeze his money and not let him access it, right, using whatever means they can without any due process to stamp on people like that. Does that which side of history do you want to be on in this situation?
Right.
It will tell. The history books will tell the tale correctly, I think.
I hope
I mean, a guy with a sign, he's with his children, and it says, end the mandates. Is France standing up for his rights, and this guy's labeled a domestic terrorist.
Yeah.
Or someone whose bank account needs to be frozen, or that you need to send police out to put a stop to this.
And they can't put, they can't cite a single act of terrorism, somebody getting hurt, somebody getting in a fight. They put a cardboard sign that says freedom on a statue, and that's, you know, defacing a statue, and that's vandalism. It's unbelievable. They have nothing to cite in this case.
Yeah. I mean, it's very much so, even if the convoy were to end tomorrow, it, because of what they do to these people, and, mm-hmm. and maybe they're able to completely stop them and shut them down, the Canadian government, the people may be gone, but the idea lives on. And what these people have done is put an idea in people's heads mm-hmm. who have been watching, and let people know that freedom still exists, even in the places of the world where it seems like it's not there, and there's no hope or anything else. That idea lives on.
Yep.
The idea is stronger than the man.
I think this financial stuff is just going to poke the bear a little harder. I think it's going to get much, this convoy is going to get much wider and much bigger now, because now you're going to see people who have maybe sat on the fence of this issue and been like, you know what, I get why they're out there, but I'm not my thing. And then they're going to hear that the government's freezing bank accounts, and then they're going to go join.
Yes.
I don't think this is going to have the effect that they are intending to have. I think this was a massive act of government overreach, and people are going to go, ooh, maybe they're right. Maybe it's not just vaccines and masks anymore. Maybe they're actually trying to take over our livelihoods. Yeah, I think this is going to prove that, they've been saying all along.
The federal government is proving their point, and
yes.
and they're increasingly alone. Like we just saw today, Quebec announced, which is the one we covered on this show, of where they had the kids who were brainwashed saying that we should call the police if somebody hasn't had their two doses.
Yeah.
And where they have the health wardens escort you through grocery stores. That's if you're unvaccinated, to make sure you only buy food and medicine. That's Quebec. And just today they announced that they're repealing their mandate. So the truckers are winning, the people who are still supporting these mandates in the federal government are increasingly alone, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, yep. I think 20 politicians, members, senators in France are against the vaccine pass that's going on in France too now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're putting pressure, and you guys, Zamora climbing up in the polls. You got all these things happening around the world right now. I'm very, very confident that all of this stuff is crumbling down very soon.
Yeah.
All of it's going to change.
You're seeing it change here in America, even though we're on a smaller scale, because our midterms are coming up, and I think that's going to be a big deciding factor for people. So you're seeing a lot of people who would be pro mandates start to switch their tune right now.
Right. They should deport anyone who's pro mandates and send them to Canada and let all of the Canadian truckers become American citizens.
Just switch over.
A little switcheroo, right? Just exchange passports.
A little switcheroo. Yeah. You know?
It's like that trade proposal meme.
Yeah, exactly.
I receive all the truckers.
Yeah.
You receive all of our woke, scared people who still drive in a car with two masks on.
Right,
seriously,
right.
Send all these college kids. Send them to Canada. Let them freeze in the cold.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you would think the powers that be in Canada would be changing their tune or at least trying to save face when cameras are around, but that is not the case. Here's a video from Sun News of Justin Trudeau talking about which countries really inspire him.
Even with Sun TV watching for any slip, he was asked which country he most admired and referred to China.
There's a level of admiration I actually have for China. Because their basic dictatorship is allowing them to actually turn their economy around on a dime and say, we need to go green as fastest. We need to start, investing in solar. I mean, there is a flexibility that I know Stephen Harper must dream about, of having a dictatorship that he could do everything he wanted, that I find quite interesting.
Oh, the irony.
Oh, the irony of you parading around and cheering on China and then blaming a conservative politician in Canada and saying that he aspires to have a Chinese dictatorship. Clearly, that is not the case. You just gave your list of reasons for why you admire China so much, and then go, "Oh, but Stephen Harper would love that dictatorship." It sounds a lot like you love the dictatorship, especially if any of that is reflected in the way that you're currently governing your country. It sounds like you love the CCP. So at least you were honest about that in the first portion of the video.
No, of course, Justin Trudeau loves the CCP. Justin Trudeau is part of the World Economic Forum, which has deep ties to China. I mean, it's all connected.
Yep.
So he's bought out and sold. So many of the other people are bought out and sold. Republicans, Democrats, and Congress in America are bought out and sold.
Yes.
You know, these people are going to kowtow to China all the time. It's why the NBC and the Olympics still happen in China. It's going to keep happening. These people are bought and paid for.
Yep. They've got checks with their name on it. Probably land in Africa with their name on it, with how things are going. South America with their name on it. It's just amazing. And just to hear it.
Justin amazing.
It's Justin amazing. And just to hear him say it so openly in front of actual news cameras, how you are so inspired by China. It's just amazing how their dictatorship gives them flexibility with the economy and going green. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, one of the least green countries in the entire world, China is. What are you talking about?
It's really the quiet part being said out loud. Yeah.
Justin Trudeau is probably going to try and harvest the organs of the Canadian truckers.
Oh my gosh.
Play a little China game. That's what it's looking like he wants to do. I mean, this is crazy. It's crazy, like, that you would say this.
Yeah, there's not much to say.
No, he's showing his true colors. But these people always show their true colors. Communists, in the end, when they're cornered, always show their true colors. They always come out and say... They lie to you at first, and they tell you that it's for you. It's going to make your life better. It's getting rid of the old and bringing in the new for a new wave of prosperity and better future, all this kind of stuff. They always say that at the beginning, but then at the end, once it all turns to rubble, then their true colors always show.
Yep.
And they tell you what it was all about the whole time.
And now we're at that stage now. We really are. And in regard to virtually every issue that we talk about, not just the mandates, racism, immigration, the whole patriarchy debacle, everybody is saying what they truly feel right now. And it's crazy because we're getting all these videos that are just like, this is insane. It's because we're at a stage right now where we've normalized all this behavior and we've normalized this set of thinking and this set of ideology so much that people don't feel discomfort even being open about it anymore.
I know. It's a guy on campus today telling me he's fine with his child, his little girl, being around a man with a penis in a locker room naked. Yep. Like, you
That's
should
the
be
quiet part.
Like, it, oh my God, to think that you got filmed on camera saying that. Like, that is so embarrassing for you.
Yeah.
That's horrible. That's disgusting, terrible, embarrassing for you. Right? But I have no problem saying it. I mean, communists, if you're a communist in America, you should be scared to say you're a communist in America. You should be scared of getting excommunicated from social life. That's how it should be. But it's not that way. If you are a person in the West and you love communism, I'm sorry, you should be scared. Not of being physically assaulted, but not being allowed, but being excommunicated from people wanting to give you a job, give you opportunities, all this kind of stuff. Because communism is evil. If you say you're a Nazi, people aren't going to hire you for a job. Why is it that you can come out and say you're a communist and people bend over backwards for you? You should be afraid to say these kinds of things. But people aren't afraid to say these kinds of things because they're praised and everyone thinks it's good. No, make communists scared again. That's my 2022 slogan. It's so horrible that we just allow this to happen. We should be shaming these people. These people should be shamed.
We're certainly in a new world.
We are.
The New World Order is not looking too shy here anymore.
That's why we can't be shy.
I'm not going to get into the scaring communist part, but we're certainly living in a new age.
Based.
We need a t-shirt. It says, like, scare the communists.
That's what I'm saying. We should make t-shirts. We should say, make communists scared again.
I love it. Go back into the closet, communists.
No, you should not. Like, people are proud of it.
I know.
Like, go out. And that's crazy to me. You should be embarrassed to have those ideas. I have those views.
Look, it's a national crisis anytime a swastika is seen
That's
in public
true.
Anywhere or right. a Confederate flag, and you can openly be communist, and yeah, there's no repercussions.
That's what I'm saying. We've done a good job of making people who claim to be Nazis scared. You can't get a job, you get blacklisted. It's a good thing. You know, yes, you have the First Amendment. You can say whatever you want. I will die for your right to say whatever you want, but that doesn't mean that anyone should take you seriously ever. That's how it goes. And it should be the same with communists or any of these sexual children, deviant types of people, any of this kind of stuff. You have to be blacklisted because there's what else are you going to do? That's how we win.
Sure.
It's terrible.
One person who continues to fight the fight and is back in the news again is Novak Djokovic. You guys know him. He's a very famous tennis player. He was meant to play in the Australian Open, but was exed from being able to do so because he was not vaccinated, even though he had acquired, what's the term for it?
He'd acquired
an exemption from doctors in Serbia that he took with him to Australia. And he was turned away and sent back home on the first flight that would take him. Now, Djokovic is back in the news because he says he will not participate in the French Open if they require him to have a vaccination. And he will not participate in any Grand Slam event. Killer. Awesome. I love to see consistency. That's like the word I keep bringing up throughout this entire argument is consistency, consistency, consistency. And He went to Australia and said, you know what? You're not going to be able to mandate what I do with my body. I brought this exemption to see if we can go through the channels here and see if I can get through this process, because Tennis Australia told me that's what I was supposed to do. And Australia sent him back. Okay, that's their prerogative. That was the law at the time. Tennis Australia told him something different. Whatever. But he's not going to participate, and he's not going to participate in the French Open. And again, this is going to see... You're going to see people wake up because of this, because it's starting to make your comfortable lifestyle a little bit uncomfortable. It's starting to show the chinks in the armor, especially when somebody who is considered a celebrity and has an immense amount of influence says, you know what, this is not okay. And I love to see it every time it happens.
I know everyone in Serbia should boycott the French Open. They shouldn't watch either.
Yep.
All those people got to take a stand with Novak and say, no, we're not going to do it either. And again, Novak Djokovic, I mean, he knows what tyranny is like better than most people. You know, he would practice tennis as a kid in between bombing raids in Belgrade. I mean, that's what he did. And to think that he is now dealing with this and seeing what's happening around the world, he's basically like, screw you guys. Like, I'm not going to comply with your nonsense. So he's a very, again... Him, these truckers, all these people standing up, being so brave, it's inspiring beyond belief.
Yep.
They're the best people in the world. And I love them.
Put this in juxtaposition with the American athletes who we see competing in Beijing right now. You have the same thing here with Novak Djokovic. This is a guy who has dedicated his entire life to being able to play at these massive tournaments like the Australian Open, like the French Open, all of the Grand Slam games. And he's not going to do it because he has principle. And his principle is, you're not allowed to mandate what I do with my body. And yet we've seen American athletes go to Beijing and compete in this Olympics, which is understandable. I get it. There's a price you have to pay, and that price is something you've dedicated your entire life to. But to see somebody who so easily makes that decision after dedicating his entire life to that sport is truly inspiring, and I wish it was something that people would aspire to more often.
Yeah. Wimbledon's in London, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's in England, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you could do Wimbledon, and depending if things change, you could potentially do the American Open.
Yeah. US Open?
Or the US Open, yeah. My fault.
I guess it just depends on the guidelines of the actual tennis organization putting it on, technically, right?
Oh, it's more about the stuff.
Well, and the countries.
The countries.
It's definitely the country. Mm-hmm. It's not really the tennis stuff. You know, the tennis thing has no qualms about Novak coming to any of these places. Right. It's all about the...
What's crazy about his stand, too, is that it's one thing if it's just some random tennis player or even any professional tennis player. Like, that's a big deal to them. Yeah. But he actually wins these things. He's won the Australian Open like 9 times.
Yep. He's in contention for the best in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. He's probably is the best in the world. And of course, Nadal won because maybe Nadal would have beat Djokovic if he actually played in this, but Djokovic historically has done better on that surface than Nadal. So anyway, it's the highest achievement in the sport of tennis is to win one of these Grand Slam events.
Yep.
And Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer were all tied, I think, at 20 going into this. And he's basically like foregoing the opportunity to separate himself from these two guys who he will always be mentioned with. And it's his whole legacy on the line. So he's paying as high of a cost as there is to pay for his career, for his legacy. And it's very commendable because he's standing on principle to the extent of, like, he's a legendary athlete. Like, this is like Michael Jordan not playing in an NBA finals with the best Chicago Bulls team just on principle. You know? And I think that's really commendable.
But it's a better legacy, you know? It's like, would you rather have one more win in an open and have sacrificed everything you believed in, or have a legacy of you're the person, the one guy, the one guy who stood up and did something?
Yep.
Well, and that other woman, where is she from? Estonia or something? The female tennis player?
I don't know.
We mentioned it on the show.
She was the same one.
Anyway, but, you know, like two people out of all these people who stood up. Like, that's a much better legacy in my book to have.
It is.
That's the legacy that people remember.
And he knows that. He says, quote, more important than any title or anything else. Mm. Super brave.
Based.
Great thing to do, man. So amazing. And I think more people are going to be inspired by this. His country certainly supports him like no other.
Oh,
we showed the press conference of him, of his father, defending him and defending his decision. And everybody in Serbia cheering for him.
I will say that, again, going when I went to Eastern Europe, the people in these places were very, I guess you could say, supportive of citizens like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's at least what it felt like. And a lot of things in Eastern Europe felt a lot more cohesive than here in America.
How so?
Just like people coming together for certain things, you know, working together. I think they've gone through a lot of things that really sucked.
Yeah.
And so I think that some of the things that we kind of nitpick here, smaller things, they come together in mass force for big supporting things.
Right.
At least common ground. I could be wrong, but I was only there for a couple of days. But you know,
yeah,
I'm giving my best judgment. That's what it felt
like. Right.
You know?
Yeah, if there's anything we've lost in America, it's certainly common ground.
Yes.
And just common values. So it would not surprise me that other countries are way ahead of us in that realm. Yeah, totally.
But we did have the Super Bowl.
We did have.
Which was an event with common ground. And I was actually pleasantly surprised with the, there wasn't a ton of woke stuff. So.
Yeah, there wasn't. Yeah. But I didn't watch, so. Yet. I can't say all that much.
I was asleep.
Well, that's why you guys don't have anything in common with the rest of America.
You don't have the same values as us.
Right.
Are you a Rams fan? You definitely don't have the same values as me.
I'm like, I'm not going to pretend like I'm interested in football for one day out of the year, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, it is fun getting everyone together to do it. You know, we all watched it last year, and it was a fun night, right? At Sabrina's place.
Right, that's
that was a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's fun for the other stuff.
No, of course, the food and, you know.
I'm just saying, we can't be like, oh, yeah, there's no common ground in America, and then, like, not participate in the things that are common ground.
Right. Wait, what?
No, you can totally do that.
I mean, you can't, you know what I mean.
I get what you're saying.
I'm celebrating, acknowledging you're saying. You're that the Super Bowl is one of those events that can be a good thing for the whole country. It's one of the few things left in American society that everyone can kind of celebrate.
Well, it's supposed
to be.
It
doesn't have to
be political.
And thankfully, they didn't make it overly political this year, so woohoo. But
last year, we had to hear about the NFL spending $250 million to combat racism, which they're still doing, apparently. And it's like, what does that even do? What do you spend $250 million on?
That's
Black Lives Matter just raised, what did they raise, $11 billion?
Yeah.
Black Lives Matter raised $11 billion in a year.
Billions
or a couple
and
of
billions.
Years. What do you do with $11 billion? If I had $11 billion, there would be, I don't know, I'd have a penis-shaped rocket going to the moon. I'd be like Jeff Bezos. But, you know, what are they doing with their money?
Buying mansions.
Buying mansions, apparently.
That's very helpful.
Build large mansions.
By the way, guys, that female tennis player is from the Czech Republic, and her name is Renata Voráčková, says Daniel.
Right.
Thank you, Daniel.
She's from Prague. I wanted to go to the Czech Republic when I was in Europe. I wanted to go to Prague, but couldn't get the time.
Happens to the best of us.
And the worst of us. Definitely the worst of us. For sure.
One last piece of news here before we get into TikTok Tuesday. Prince Andrew has now settled his sex abuse case that was placed against him by Virginia Giuffre, a woman who claims to have had sexual interactions with Prince Andrew through the vessel that is Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Apparently, he's going to make a sizable donation to her charity that goes towards supporting abuse victims. They've settled this outside of court, supposedly, and it's looking like this lawsuit is going to see a dismissal. It's if we really want to talk about privilege, especially when it comes to criminal justice in America, that talk should be centered around class, not race. Even though Prince Andrew does happen to be a white male, the issue here is class. He's able to take a lawsuit that has massive implications for illegal things that he's done to underage women and just go, here's a check to your charity, and it all goes away. And now you don't get any names, and this is all just going to be wiped off the hands of the criminal justice system. Are you guys ever going to see the names in the little black book that Jeffrey Epstein had or that Ghislaine Maxwell had? No. You'll never know all of the different elites and world leaders who are involved in this. And the ones that you do know, that you do have information that shows, yes, he absolutely did do this, and here's the picture to prove it, and here's the testimony from the victim to prove it, throw money at it and it goes away.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant.
Yeah. It's hard to even realize that with the amount of public attention that's on these things right now,
mm-hmm.
all over social media. But that's the problem, is that social media, big tech companies work hand in hand with getting these things silenced.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, big tech, Twitter, effectively silenced the Ghislaine Maxwell trial tracker account, right? They went out of their way to silence this account and other accounts that were posting things like it. The big tech giants, they work in tandem with these, what it seems, these elites, to make sure that all of these things never come to light.
Yep.
So as long as big tech has the power that it has, no one is going to be held accountable. I mean, that should be Republicans in Congress who are getting voted in 2022. One of their top priorities is big tech accountability for censorship. If mm-hmm. you don't hear someone running and talking about freedom of speech and Section 230 and big tech censorship and the monopoly of their organizations, then they should be primaried, in my opinion. It's a huge deal. It has to be taken care of.
But will it?
I don't know.
Yeah, great question. Who knows? Who knows? I do want to read the statement that Prince Andrew's council put out. Prince Andrew intends to make a substantial donation to Miss Giuffre's charity in support of victims' rights. Prince Andrew has never intended to malign Miss Giuffre's character, except for calling her a liar and saying that she lied in her entire testimony about everything that happened between them, even though she had very specific details. And he accepts that she has suffered both as an established victim of abuse and as a result of unfair public attacks. Amazing.
I just hate lawyer speak. It's the worst.
I just can't believe it.
Who perpetrated the abuse that he's admitting she suffered from?
Not him, apparently.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't sweat, if you guys remember the BBC interview that he did. Because he doesn't sweat, so it couldn't have possibly been me, because she said that the guy was sweating. And I'm in that picture with Virginia Giuffre with my arm around her, but somebody could have photoshopped that arm around her. I don't remember being in the room with her, and I certainly don't remember her being underage. Right, guys? Is this believable? While I'm actively sweating, telling you all of this. So unbelievable. Yeah.
Just goes to show these people can get away with whatever they want.
Yeah.
That's the type of civilization that we have now.
It really is true.
It's about continually pushing. It's not just about Twitter headlines of small things and just talking about it for a second and then forgetting about it. It's about continually pushing, saying it, bringing it up every day. This is one thing that I like about Jack Poso on his Twitter that I think is really admirable and good. He's on it all the time. So, I mean, he's always tweeting all the time, so this makes sense. But he'll bring up things that happened a week ago. He'll bring up things that happened a couple months ago or even a day ago, whatever. And he'll, like, say, remember when this happened? And he brings it up and keeps it in the back of your mind. I like that about him and what he does on his tweets, so that he's constantly bringing things up again. Like, I'm hearing, like, what about Afghanistan? We still have Americans in Afghanistan now, and no one's talking about it. You know, and this is an important issue. All these things are important issues. So you have to continually hammer these things with Prince Andrew, with the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, all these things. Keep talking about it. Keep talking about it until people's ears start bleeding, because that's what it seems like it has to go to.
Yeah, and that's one of the tactics that they use, is that they keep you inundated with so many news stories of all these different issues that you can't keep up with. So you have this outrage for this one thing for a week, and then the next thing pops up and you forgot what you were outraged about a week ago, and you forget to even check up on what you were outraged about a week ago. And make no mistake, it's going to be the same thing that happens with this Prince Andrew thing. He's evaded justice this entire time, and this is years in the making, years ago that he was involved with this and continually involved in it, and it will go away just like everything else does, because you find something else to talk about, and justice will never be served because he's a world leader. It's just unfortunate.
Yep.
With that being said, let's get into TikTok Tuesday. let's see some more unfortunate things. Now, racism is never okay, particularly when it's directed towards people of color. But it seems like in today's day and age, it's perfectly fine to be racist towards white people. Want some proof? Here's a TikTok.
Black people, colors only. I got a question. So you ever standing in public, right? You stand in public and you see white people. Do you ever get the urge to just, you know, you know, like you're minding your business, like they're kind of minding their business, and you just to scare them? Just to scare them a little bit, just to give them the feeling like today's the day that black people start retaliating, just to give them a little bit of the burning feeling inside. No, just me. I don't know. Let me know. Black people, coloreds only. I got a question.
Black people, so coloreds only. I didn't think we were allowed to say the word coloreds anymore, but apparently that's fine.
Coloreds.
No, I don't ever get the urge to do that. I can answer that definitively.
That's because you're too scared.
I don't ever get the urge.
I'm almost too scared to do it.
I don't ever get the urge. It's
too deep.
If anybody would ever give me that urge, it'd be Will Witt. And you don't ever see me.
Yeah.
You know, go to fake punch Will.
Person of color. Yeah, no, it's terrible.
No, Amla does that all the time, going around the office and the kitchen and stuff. Someone's making their coffee and she's like,
yeah, I just walk right up to them.
Craig, you nerd.
Yeah. Looking extra pale today, Whitey.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Yeah, you're pale as hell. No, it's, I don't like it. That's first and foremost. Wait, I had some, I was about to say something, I forgot what I was going to say.
I also want to add, she's a teacher. Of course she's a teacher. It's just insane. And this woman is, like many others, could be teaching your children. A woman who believes that you should fake jilted white people to give them the fear that people of color are somehow going to rise up in America is teaching is children.
Rise up and do what?
Yeah, it's a great question.
I don't understand.
I don't know.
What are you retaliating against?
They're so oppressed.
And just like some random white guy at the supermarket or at a movie theater, like you're going to make, what is this guy doing to you? Like seriously, if I saw a black person do that, I'd be like, you have Tourette's or something. You look kind of strange. I would have no idea why this person is doing this to me.
Right. And you know what? We reacted to the Showtime trailer for Everything's Gonna Be All White, and it said, like, warning, this might trigger white people. I don't see white people getting triggered. I see you guys getting triggered. Clearly, if you feel the need to walk up to a random white person and move like you're going to hit them, you feel triggered. And to pair that sort of rhetoric with the idea that white people have privilege is so just unbelievable to me. A white person can't go on the internet and say, do you ever just walk up to a black person and hold your fist up like you're going to hit them? Don't you ever just want to scare black people? That's a privilege that only black people tend to have in this country, because only black people can go on the internet and make a video like this and say, I want to threaten white people and make them scared and have it live freely there. In fact, they get cheered on for saying it. They say, you know, I understand that anger. I understand because you're so oppressed. Who's really oppressed? Who really has privilege? Because clearly it's you.
No, this person should lose her job as a teacher.
Yes, absolutely.
100%.
100%.
For saying these kinds of things.
Undoubtedly.
I mean, do you have any white kids who you teach? Do you only teach black kids? You only teach colored kids, as she would say?
Mm-hmm.
Is that all that you teach? If you teach any white kids, I mean, how would it feel to be a white kid in the class?
Yep.
Imagine if you were a white kid in the class and you saw that video of your teacher saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's racist. That's all this is. I mean, people want to come and say, oh, it's not anti-white. It's not anti-white. There's no plan against white people, any of this kind of stuff. This is what normal people believe. This is what normal leftist people think about white people. There is a plan against white people. It's evident.
And
it's the power of globalization.
Yeah. You have to think about all the different spheres of influence that people like this work in, because this is not a fringe idea anymore to say, you know, I hate white people and I want to scare them. This is very much commonly accepted by those on the political left. You might call it extreme, but it's getting less and less extreme to come and say things like this. These are people who work as teachers. These are people who work in the criminal justice system. These are people who work in medicine. Imagine this girl being a nurse and you're in the ER and you're a white male. Do you think you're going to get the best care? Do you think she's going to go out of your way to truly help you when you need help or give you the true medication that you need in your time of need? Absolutely not. And these are people who work average jobs of service, like teaching.
Help. Oh, you need help. Oh, you need a little heart transplant.
Right. Right.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Bias carries through in the way that you serve people. I don't care what anybody says. That's tried and true. Bias carries through in the way that you do your job. And if you are a teacher or someone in the medical field or someone in criminal justice and you believe these things, you will treat white people differently.
Of course. But they want to treat white people differently. I hate white people.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Here's another one here.
Oh, wait. One thing about that.
Yes.
Is that for white people out there who are watching and for myself and Taylor, whatever. Don't now, because of this, I am no victim. Okay? I am not a victim because some stupid girl on TikTok is coming and saying racist things about me, or that she wants to retaliate against me, or that the culture is against me as a white man in these types of ways from these leftist people.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a victim. None of you guys, when you're going out there, don't make yourself a victim. Make yourself a victor and talk about these things and educate people on it, but don't go and complain about it and say, oh, these people are so racist to me now. You're going to sound like a whiny leftist. Okay, we are not whiny leftists. We are strong conservatives. So don't make ourselves the victims now just because someone is victimizing us in this way. We continue to rise up and be better than these people and be stronger than these people.
Yep. And just point out where they're wrong at every turn and do so in a calm manner and just say, this is the fact and you're wrong.
Right.
And here's why
no one's going to come and save us. You have to save yourself.
Yep. And here is another one where we're talking pronouns and whether or not it's preferable to be referred to as it.
I do actually have a preference. That's why I will usually say it's, or I don't care, because it is my favorite. I love it when people call me it. But beyond that, I like he the next. He takes the second spot, but not because I identify as a boy, but just because I love it when people perceive me that way, especially when it's like other men type people perceiving me as a man. Like, I just want to be a bro with the bros. But like, also, I want to be perceived as a girl by cuties.
Jeez.
It's, I don't know. But yeah, so it was my favorite, then he, but like, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl. Faye's my least favorite. I do actually.
Okay.
I was talking to this guy on campus today, and he brings this very, very leftist guy. And we're talking about this stuff. And he's like, there's a difference between sex and gender. I was like, first of all, no, there isn't. But if you want to say, if someone wants to say what they want to say, that's fine. But this is about truth. And that is not objectively true. This lady saying that she's all these things, there's no truth there. Okay? I think she's a lady. I can't really tell. It's kind of hard to tell.
Biological
woman, I would assume. There is no truth in anything that she is saying. She can believe it. She can do whatever she wants. Someone else can call her that. Doesn't matter. But nothing there that she said is true. And that is very unfortunate that she has been led to believe that by people. And people have affirmed that this is true for her. Because it is not. I mean, you take a look at what that woman is wearing. She has a dog collar, all these piercings, all this stuff. Like, she obviously has, you know, I feel terrible for this person. Yeah. There's obviously things wrong in the way that she's thinking, and she is not thinking things are true. But then you have people enabling this type of behavior. This type of behavior should not be enabled, telling people that this is truth. You can go be whatever you want, sure, but none of it's true. Okay, we have to make that distinction. Like, that's just not true.
Yeah, it really is less upsetting and just more super unfortunate. It's like you feel bad for somebody who's going through this amount of deep confusion that they feel the need to express themselves. And this is not even expressing yourself as another gender, but as it and he, even though you actively admit that you don't identify as male, and sort of just having this ideology seeps so deep into the way that people think that it makes them confused about who they are. It's just an unfortunate thing. You know, waking up every day and not knowing what specific pronoun you'd like to be referred to that day, or how you want to be perceived, and what gender you want to encompass that day. It must be just so taxing on the brain and on your mental health. And I cannot imagine waking up every day and having that struggle.
I'm just being so confused. I mean, this person is obviously incredibly confused.
Yeah, and here's an even better example of that. And this one gets even sadder. This is where this ideology sort of leads. Here's a TikTok of a woman who's being misgendered by a coworker and her explaining that story.
I have this one coworker who simply refuses to use the correct pronouns for me. I've called her out every time she misgenders me, and she just is resigned to not change. And today just broke something in me. I just snapped. I ended up yelling at her after the third time she misgendered me, and within like 30 minutes, like, they, I use they, them pronouns. And she got so defensive. And I just started explaining to her, like, I'm sick and tired of this shit. Like, you need to at least make an attempt. And she popped off, got upset, got defensive. What are you going to do about it? And I just said, I'm going to be really hurt and sad. Like, that's all I can do about it. And the worst part is that at that point, my boss, who claims to be so woke and like happy and joyous and making a safe, positive environment for everybody, gangs up on me with her and says, like, this is Carson, like, shut up. This is not the time for a political statement. And I was upset, rightfully so, but was trying to take such a level-headed approach to it of like, this is not a political statement. My identity is not a political statement. It's just my identity. All I'm asking you to do is respect that. And it really is within our own community that people have the most rampant transphobia. The coworker that refuses to use the correct pronouns for me claims to be bisexual, and she stands up and goes, when I came out as bisexual, everybody was mad at me. It's like, then why are you mad at the trans kid? Like, what?
Okay, you can watch the rest of that video if you want to on Libs of TikTok, if you want to watch the rest of that. Again, it's just like, wow. It's so wild to me that a person using a word in reference to you is so, I hate the word triggering, but so triggering that you have to sit in your car and make a video detailing this experience, and it makes you cry. That's an unbelievable reality that we're in, and all because people have been convinced that if you believe something about yourself, it has to be affirmed by other people. And when other people don't affirm it for you, they hate you.
Yeah, that's like something, when you become an adult and you believe something or you do something, you know, they always say like, oh, as you get older, you stop caring about what people think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like a thing of that comes with age. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you really believe this and you are really a they or a dragon or whatever it is that you are, then it doesn't matter what other people think.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if they affirm what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know this is political. She said it's not a political statement. It is political.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are looking for other people to affirm a political statement that you are making. Okay?
Yep.
You think it's not political. It's inherently political. That's what this is. And the fact that you can't just take it on its own face value of yourself believing it and not caring what other people think goes to show you that it is not really what you think. Because if it was, then you wouldn't care what other people think, unless you're just very immature, which that also could be the case. But as you become an adult and you're mature and you stop caring about what people think, if you do still care about what people think about this issue, then it seems to me that you are resigned to not believe it yourself.
Yeah, it's just a failing here. It's so crazy because you see these videos and you think, okay, this is fringe, this is fringe, this is fringe, and then more and more and more and more. And you have to think about how many young people are just being completely terrorized by this set of ideology and these ideas. This cannot be mentally healthy for somebody. And I can't imagine that this coworker is going to be the only person in this girl's life that says that she is a she instead of saying they. This is going to happen to her for the rest of her known existence if she continues down this path and continues with this identity. And if she can't handle it from somebody who she even acknowledges as a part of her own community is bisexual, girl, life is going to be rough.
Right.
Life is going to be rough. And there's clearly a lack of mental fortitude that needs to be addressed. And it goes to show all of these videos, and I know they're extreme and they're like the most... fringe cases or whatever, and people want to go, haha, funny, that's so funny. These show a deep problem, a very deep problem in our society, specifically with young men and women. And it's a problem that if left unaddressed is going to boil over and burn a lot of people, because this is continual. This is going to grow. This reaction does not get lesser with time. It gets worse as people affirm more and more that people should just blindly affirm what you are and who you are. This mental depression gets worse. And that's why we see the outcomes with people who identify as transgender being so poor, because we have refused as a society to look at what are actual forms of treatment for these people. And instead, we expect them to be blindly affirmed. And if they get their wrong pronouns used, they make a TikTok video in their car.
Yeah. I mean, it's even more than that. It goes into just the culture in general of not just trans stuff, but just young people and weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would be embarrassed to go on TikTok and make a video crying to everybody. I could never do that. You know, that's crazy. That's craziness. Like, it's just a weakness in our society today that's just not being addressed. It's like a good thing to be weak nowadays. And that is the worst thing that has really happened to our generation, that people think, oh, I can be weak and I should be heralded for being weak. And it's no, you should be, you know, in survival of the fittest, Darwinian type of sense, the weak die and the strong survive, right? And we're telling people that weakness is good. You can't have a society and a species that has weakness as its primary virtue.
Right.
You need strength and dominance as your primary virtues.
And we saw this sort of shift with social media in particular. When social media first came out and it hit the airwaves or whatever you want to say, it was a highlight reel of everybody's life. So you would look at Will's life or Taylor's life or my life and you go, oh my gosh, their life is so cool, because it was just a highlight of all the fun things that people were doing. And then people went, this is fake. This isn't real. Social media needs to be more than just your highlight reel. And all of a sudden you see pictures of people crying and talking about their eating disorders, particularly with young women, and showing their self-harm videos and showing their manic episodes and their depressive episodes. And they go, well, at least social media is real now. But what they fail to acknowledge is that it misrepresents what people's lives should be like and what people should be aspiring to be. And now we've sort of created this mental health culture where it's trendy to have mental health problems.
Mm-hmm.
And
definitely,
kids get inside that headspace to fit in and feel normal, because it is so normalized by social media, and not in the way that is telling people to seek health or seek help or discuss it. It's just this weird, I'm feeling upset and crying, but it didn't happen if I don't post it on the internet. You know, it's wild. It's wild.
It's a great point, Amala. And it's like one thing to think, which is the weakness, and there's no backbone on that person who in that video who's making that. They have no backbone whatsoever to stand up for themselves and do this kind of stuff. She says, the girl says, apparently, she said, what are you going to do about it? And she said, I'm going to cry and be really hurt by it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, if someone... Back in the day, you know, you're in the 1950s, some kid comes and says something about you, you punch him in the face. You know, that's like how people used to handle their problems.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you should punch everyone in the face, but you know what I mean? Like you did something that was not just going and retreating into a corner. Like I remember when we were talking about this stuff with Matt Walsh, and he's like, man, I get all sorts of horrible, horrible things every single day on Twitter, more than they have ever gotten in their entire lives in one day. I mean, if you go on my Twitter and you read the replies to my tweets, you wouldn't think that I had anyone who was my fan or I didn't have any fans, because every reply in my tweets is just people who hate me. It's great. I love it. But, you know, it's like I'm not coming here and crying about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. It's just what life is. You have to have some fortitude and some strength. I'm not going to sit here and feel bad for weak people. What I feel bad for is that you don't know how to handle the problems, and there's no one out there who's telling you that you need to handle it in a different way.
Yep.
They're enabling it for you.
Yep.
Right.
The best thing that you can do for people is tell them, be strong. Don't care about these people. Do what is right. Do what is morally good. Stand up for truth and be courageous in all these types of things. Not, oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. No, you have to be strong. That is something that I had to learn, and it's changed my life.
Yeah, she's a victim of the people who took away her resiliency and taught her to be a victim.
Right.
And there's no cultural currency these days in being resilient and being strong. And I just, as you were talking, I find it ironic that the very people who say kids are resilient in reference to the mask mandates and all this type of stuff are the people who are saying, oh, these adults who believe this ideology are such victims. Mm-hmm. And it's just an interesting thing.
It is interesting.
Yep. So I guess we'll keep up with our TikTok Tuesdays. There will be no shortage of content, unfortunately.
Yeah. I like this segment because, I mean, I appreciate the way that you guys have been handling it, because it's easy to look at these and just be like, oh, ha ha, look at these crazy libs. But we actually are trying to dig in and get to the root of, like, what's actually going on here, and what does this say about where our culture is and how kids are being raised, and how we've deviated as a society from, you know, having the gravity of growing up being toward becoming more resilient and independent and strong. And now it's how much of a victim you are. And each one of these, it's like, it's one thing, of course, a lot of times it's laughable because they're so absurd, but there's something deeper going on. And that's what we're trying to do with this segment every week.
Yeah. The getting on here and going, haha, that's so funny, is the easy part. What's the hard part is actually addressing why this is happening and having sympathy for the people that are going through this and going, you know what, I want to understand. Because to them, they don't see it the way that we see it. They see this is their life. This is their reality. This is what we're going through. So there's a deeper thing there that's going on that needs to be addressed. And if it's not addressed, this grows. And the last thing you want is for something like this to grow.
No, for sure. So, as a cancer, you know, you cut it out.
Yep.
You don't say, oh, good cancer, it's okay. You know, you cut it
out.
You throw it out of your body. That's what you do with it, you know?
Yeah, like, oh, you want to be here? Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me know if you need more space.
Oh, do you have a little mental health cancer?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you want to be a trans cancer?
Oh,
you can stay. No, you cut it out. Cut it out immediately.
Yeah. So we'll continue to do this segment and keep you guys posted with these just very interesting TikToks. Interesting, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Guys.
The same with like my videos. With my videos when I'm going out and talking to people on the street. It's not just going and saying, haha, stupid liberal. It's like exposing the left. This is what the left has done. You are exposing it so you can put it in a framework to talk about.
Yep.
You know, that's part of the whole thing of why I do my videos that way.
Yep. And we'll continue to do so. Guys, thank you so much for watching. That is our show for today. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live. But do so on the Will and Amala live channel. That's our new channel. We're trying to get you guys moved over to there. Eventually, we'll do all of our full episodes, exclusive content, and clips only on that channel. So go and subscribe to Will and Amala Live. We will be back tomorrow with our fun little Wednesday segment and all of the news just for you. So we will see you guys then. Bye.
Peace.